Hello and welcome to Business Beat on 90.5 WICN. My name is David Ginsberg. Sometimes we get a heavy hitter in the studio joining us for Business Beat, and this is one of those weeks. I am honored to be in the studio with Teresa Lynn, who is the CEO of Girl Scouts of Central and Western Massachusetts. Hello, Teresa.
Hello.
And as she's saying hello, she's setting up boxes of cookies, tagalongs. I see some Samoas, the Thin Mints, which are, of course, the greatest cookies of all time. And, of course,
Adventure Bowls and tagalongs.
Adventure Bowls and tagalongs. My eyes aren't as good as my appetite is now. Is there a strategic reason why Girl Scout cookies are for sale right after everyone makes their New Year's resolutions to get in better shape?
No, some councils move it a little later, but we want to be on the early side. Yeah. Everyone deserves a treat, right?
Yeah. So. How's the diet going? Here's cookies.
Yeah. Right. Well, there is a gluten-free one if people are interested.
Good to know. So the Girl Scouts, we want to talk a little bit. We'll talk about cookies in a little bit, but I do want to get a sense, just where are the Girl Scouts now after 120 years, give or take, of being an organization serving countless numbers of young women? How is the organization? I mean, obviously it's evolved since 1910.
Mm-hmm, right.
But what's happening now? Has it remained popular? And I know the impact the Girl Scouts have sort of on long-term development. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the need for girls to get into this kind of a structured program now more than ever is so important. Is that accurate?
Yes, now more than ever. I mean, I think that should be our motto. In this council, Central and Western Mass, we served almost 6,000 girls last year.
Wow.
Supported by over 3,000 adults. We are a volunteer-led organization, yeah. To be fair. Troop leaders really do the bulk of the work. That, I'm sure you probably know, youth organizations are seeing a decline almost everywhere. Participation is just down. And that doesn't mean there's not a need. It means that kids are not engaged. They're staying home. I think during the pandemic, the research shows parents got used to kids staying home.
Yep.
And kids got used to staying home and doing, you know, things on their phone or video games,
right,
or whatever.
And it's led to a loneliness epidemic that is, mm-hmm, not getting a lot better, at least not quickly. And we've seen this with isolation and loneliness and the maladjustment that causes for these young folks at a very critical stage of their development.
Correct. Yes.
And I think the structure that the Girl Scouts provides, and I know that for WICN's listeners, people tuning in now, we have a lot of listeners that were scouts themselves, mm-hmm, and are now, their kids have been scouts, their grandkids are scouts, are getting into scouting, and they immediately recognize the importance. Over the years, we've had a partnership with Girl Scouts of Central and Western Mass for WICN. We've done the Girls in Radio badge. We've, mm-hmm, done some Girl Scout cookie marketing. We, mm-hmm, had a jingle contest that was very cute a few years ago. Mm. And the joy these kids have, but it's not just that they get to raise money for programs. They're learning practical life skills as a result of doing this that translates throughout the remainder of their lives, from marketing and sales to budgeting and so forth. Could you talk a little bit about that in more detail?
Yeah, specifically with the cookie program, it's like running a small business. You just mentioned budgeting, forecasting, mm-hmm, marketing. You also have to scout your own places you're going to sell cookies. So you got to approach a small business owner or a large business owner or a friend of the family or somebody to say, hey, can I do this? Mm-hmm. You have to be ready for your people skills. So they practice, you know, someone walks up and says, I don't like sweets, or, you know, I already bought some, or, yeah, whatever. They practice all these skills.
Yeah, which is a sales training, really. It's just how to overcome objections and get to the sale.
It's definitely sales training, yeah. Which everybody can use.
Yes.
And the other thing is, when you mentioned the social isolation, this is talking to people face to face at cookie booths or going around and talking to people one on one,
which is a confidence builder, mm-hmm, you know, because so much on top of the loneliness and the isolation epidemics in the country, the rates of anxiety among not only young people, but all of us has skyrocketed over the past 10, 12 years. And it has, inaction sort of breeds more inaction. People, it just makes your anxiety worse because you sort of go into, you know, doom thinking of what might the outcomes might be. But then you actually take that action step and you realize that wasn't bad at all. Actually, I enjoyed that. It's a confidence builder. I'd imagine for a lot of girls, taking that leap into talking to, I hate to say strangers, but talking to customers and, mm-hmm, pitching their product is a confidence builder that will benefit them far outside of what they do in Scout.
Absolutely. And the skill building is really, really important, as you touched on, and you mentioned your radio badge.
Yeah.
Where else could they determine their own future in these things. I'm sure a group of Girl Scouts got together and said, I want to earn that badge. Mm-hmm. And that's how they got linked up with you. So this is all girl-led also. It's not like we have a menu. When you're a Daisy, you have to do this. When you have a Brownie, you have to do this. There are minimum requirements, but then you choose your own kind of adventure or future. And that helps you build confidence. It also lets you be yourself, which is really, really important to Girl Scouts. Every girl is welcome at Girl Scouts.
And that also helps then in their gaining of social skills. We talked a little minute ago, or a couple of minutes ago, about parents kept kids home during the pandemic, realized, you know, I'm used to having the kids around and they can entertain themselves with the infinite universe between streaming services and the you know, TikTok and everything else. And they don't gain the social skills that come from interacting with peers and play groups. And we were growing up, as an example, and, you know, I realize I'm a 100-year-old man, but when we were growing up, you went outside all day, you made up games, you made up the rules as you went along. Mm-hmm. There was no, it wasn't nearly as structured, you know, outside of like Little League, there was no structure the way everything is so structured now in play dates. And so for these girls, they're getting a chance to learn who they are outside the context of their parents and learn how to be part of a larger group working towards a common goal. And how to navigate, you know, sometimes what can be difficult situations. And these are life skills that are critical to build upon. And so much of this we don't teach in schools. And so where else are they going to get these lessons about navigating actual life itself and the circumstances that they're going to encounter throughout their lives?
Exactly. The two things you touched on, one is outdoors. Mm. I mean, that's a huge part of Girl Scouts.
Yep.
And it's a huge need right now. Outdoor exploration promotes physical activity, fosters creativity, improves mental health, and cultivates a connection with nature. And those are things everybody needs.
Yes.
And it really does help improve mental health. The research is very clear on that. At Girl Scouts of Central and Western Massachusetts, we not only have badges that do outdoor exploration, but we have four camps. Two are overnight, two are day, and one is day and overnight. And they have a many, many options. Registration already started. Yep. You don't have to be a Girl Scout to go. So you can take advantage of these places and spaces. And they are absolutely beautiful properties on waterfronts with a lot to offer.
And these camps are in Central Massachusetts here. So it's local for...
There's two in Central Mass and there's two in Western Mass. Yeah.
So where are the Western Mass school camps?
East Otis.
Okay.
And Hadley.
Oh, so... Not for if you're in Worcester in the area, that's not all that far. It's Hadley is an hour. East Otis is a little bit further out there into the Berkshires.
That is a big one, a big overnight one. The ones here are located in Spencer and Harvard. Harvard is an overnight camp celebrating its 100th anniversary this year.
Oh, Spencer, actually, I know where I just realized I was in Spencer over the weekend. I know where that is. Okay. I'm going right by there. But those camps, again, taking it a step further, it's a chance whether they're going to day camp or overnight camp, social skills, learning to be part of a group, choosing their own pathway and pursuing their own interests outside of the context of their parents signing them up for activities, but getting the chance to explore what do they really enjoy doing, what perhaps do they not enjoy doing as much, how to make friends, how to, you know, if you're staying in an overnight camp, that can be a transformative experience and learning how to share space with other people and, you know, again, be part of a dynamic so that, you know, I went to summer camp, there's always one kid who was sort of sloppy and they left towels everywhere, and that was me. But you learn how to navigate those things and challenging personalities at a time when there's a lot of data that shows from, we talk about mental health on the show a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a massive mental health crisis in America that is not getting addressed very well at all. And I'm not especially confident that it's going to, but one of the concerns is that the younger generations don't really make a lot of friends. They live in a virtual world on their phones and on TikTok and on video games and so forth, the video game platforms, but they're not really learning how to make real life friends and friends that may not look like them or come from similar circumstances, but yet they have commonalities together. And so to me, at least, the camps provide these girls that opportunity to learn and grow in that vein.
I mean, so does Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
They both do, because what you have in Girl Scouts is the group of girls that are that become friends, so to speak. You know, then you also have the adult troop leaders who are trusted adults in your life. Add another two to the people you may have at home, and the other thing is a sense of community.
Yeah,
it's really critical for Girl Scouts that we are contributing members of a community. So giving back, looking for a need, and how to make it happen. That's very much in the Girl Scout way. A lot of our Girl Scouts design projects specifically intended to solve a local either neighborhood or community problem.
Yeah, which is awesome because those problems otherwise may not get addressed, right? And so it comes back to promise, the mission of the Girl Scouts, as the mission is written, I'm going to read for you, is Girl Scouts uphold the promise and law in everything they do. It's often recited at the start of a troop meeting or a gathering. Promise and law remind us to be honest, to help people at all times, and to make the world a better place. That doesn't seem like such an extraordinary goal. It seems it's kind of like what just being a good citizen is all about, ultimately.
I mean, that is exactly it. It's defined as to make the world a better place. So it's very intentional.
Yeah.
And you got to seek out opportunities in order to make that connection with people, I think.
Without a doubt. I do want to talk about a little bit further about the skills development. We'll talk about the cookies in our second half here. Okay. But I think one of the critical pieces, and we touched on this earlier, is that the skills that they develop, you know, goal setting, decision making, money management, people skills, business ethics, marketing, sales, planning, which is part of business development, is, okay, mm-hmm. where's a good place to sell the cookies? And if it's a saturated market on Main Street, then can we go someplace else that's less saturated and kind of have a larger share of that market itself? But all of these are skills that really aren't taught in schools, unless you go to business school. But, you know, elementary and middle school, they're not learning any of these things. And Even, you know, going back to when we were in school, home ec, we learned some very, very basic things. We didn't learn how to balance a checkbook. We didn't learn how to pay taxes. You know, you don't learn a lot of mm-hmm. skills that you have to kind of figure out on your own. And, you know, now this generation that comes up, the parents are very involved in their lives and they are sort of helpless in many cases into early adulthood. Whereas when they participate in programs like this, they're gaining these skills and not only gaining them as it pertains to cookies and fundraising for their own missions, but their skills can be extrapolated into other parts of their lives. And they may not realize at the time that these are skills that will apply as they go out throughout their life.
Definitely. The financial literacy is a huge part of our work. We really try to make sure that every girl has that at some point. It's not taught. Right. Anywhere, as evidenced by a recent article in the Boston Globe. Yeah. And it's something that is pretty critical to a young person's coming of age as they go out into the world. So we are very intentional about that. We have a program specific to that that's funded by TD Bank. And it really focuses on teaching financial literacy skills. It varies across the age groups, so we have different ones for different ages, but it can get pretty intentional about sort of the life you want to lead eventually and what you need to make that happen.
Yeah, and that they can take control of their own course of life, that mm-hmm. you'll handle your own finances, you'll be able to plan your own career, you'll be able to pursue your own interests. And without turning this into something political, because I don't want to go down that road, but I do want to mention that we're at a moment in America where there's a push from some sectors of our society to sort of reinstate what they consider traditional gender roles, and women have to push back on that. And so part of that is gaining a literacy, a financial literacy, gaining skills mm-hmm. and confidence in business to go out and design the course of your life the way you wish to see it fulfilled, as opposed to the way it is going to be dictated to you by someone who may not have your best interest at heart.
True, definitely. Yeah. And there's a program we're trying to get off the ground that tries to bring in women leaders at pretty high levels, because there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of them locally, and have them talk to Girl Scouts about not just their career path, but what does their day look like? How do they make these leadership decisions? Who do they hold accountable? Who are they accountable to? Just kind of learning the ins and outs of various businesses and what leadership looks like at the really top level for women.
For sure. And part of that leadership for anybody is putting the needs of the organization first and foremost, and understanding that part of being a leader is you're going to have uncomfortable conversations. You're going to have to make decisions that may not be popular at the time, but are necessary to further the mission of the organization. And having the confidence to do so and not be pushed off course because you're afraid of other people's opinions.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And I think that would be a really good question for one of these women when they come on. What was a really unpopular decision you made to push the business forward?
Well, Teresa, you're a CEO.
Oh, we don't want to go there yet. Yeah, maybe in a year.
Maybe in the next half of the show. We're going to take a very short break. This is Business Beat at 90.5 WICN. We are back on Business Beat on 90.5 WICN. David Ginsberg with Teresa Lynn, CEO of Girl Scouts of Central and Western Massachusetts. Before we talk more about the cookies themselves, Teresa, I'm curious, you have been in the nonprofit world a long time. You've spent mm-hmm. the bulk of your career in this environment. What drew you into the nonprofit world?
Okay, to be fair, I landed there by accident.
Okay.
But there has been a common thread since that landing of serving youth. Okay. And especially youth that lack opportunities. So I worked at the YMCA of Greater Boston for a while. I ran a children's literacy program for 14 years, and I worked at the United Way of Central Mass for 6 years
before
this position. Yeah.
Wow, so really dedicated to service and helping young folks.
Yeah, and I think being both on the program side and on the philanthropy side is a really helpful kind of experience to have to bring to this role.
It's got to be quite an education from the fundraising part of things, the development part of it, to the managing the organization itself. I would imagine that you don't have a lot of free time.
No, not a lot of free time at Girl Scouts.
But that's okay. And So how long have you been with Girl Scouts now?
Almost a year.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 days shy of a year. Girl Scouts is a complicated place. If you think about it, there's the troop model. There's what we do bring Girl Scouts into the community. So it's sort of staff driven. There's also the cookie program. There's, we have four camps. There's all the program side of it. I mean, there's actually a lot of different aspects to the business.
Yeah, which it's fascinating to me. And hopefully the girls find it as fascinating as well in their roles there. So it is Girl Scout cookie season, and many of you know, many WSN listeners right now are aware because you have kids and grandkids selling cookies, or there's someone at your workplace that is selling cookies on behalf of their child, which seems to happen to a lot of folks. What I was really fascinated by was that in the early days, in the 1910s, a lot of Girl Scout members with parents volunteering were actually the ones making the cookies. They weren't produced in a factory. They weren't, at a large bakery that can produce, high quantities of them. They were really homemade cookies.
Yeah.
Times have really changed.
Times have changed. Now, they were under, I should note, the supervision of adults at the time. But yes, they were. It was truly a homegrown business then.
That's remarkable. So it really kind of started out as a, I hate to use the word homegrown again, but it is an organic kind of effort and then led to this sort of iconic American programs. Everyone knows Girl Scout cookies.
Exactly. Yep.
Including dispensaries that have named strains of green colored Girl Scout cookies. That's neither here nor there. But the cookies themselves, just for folks listening, they're kosher and they are halal certified. There are vegan and gluten-free varieties available. So there's no excuse, not to find the cookie that makes sense for you and your particular diet situation. Their flavors, thin mints are the greatest, let's face it.
Yes.
Everyone knows that. Freeze them, take them out of the freezer, have a sleeve of them. It's one of life's great treats. Samoas, tagalongs, do-si-dos. I heard the s'mores are retiring.
Yep.
We wish them well in their retirement.
Yeah, we'll have something new the next year.
What people may not always realize is that the sales of the Girl Scout cookies were $6 a box? Is that?
Yes.
Okay, so $6 for box cookies, which is still pretty affordable, that the sales of those are going to support Girl Scouts themselves and the programs they want to participate in. So there are Girl Scouts that are selling cookies because it raises money for them to go to camp, or their troops can go to camp, whether it's the overnight camp or the day camp. We talked about those a little while ago. What are some other elements that kids can use when they sell cookies to support? What else can they support through the sales of Girl Scout cookies? Is it all going to the camps and programs?
No, there's a wide range. And I'm glad you brought that up because the money stays local. And I want to make sure everybody knows that, because it was, as much as it's a national cookie sale and everybody can participate across, the USA and Canada, all the money here stays here. Mm. The girls use it for camp, as you said. They use it to fund their community service projects. They actually use it for trips as well. We do a fair number of trips where cohorts of Girl Scouts go. This upcoming trips include Japan, Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, and Greece. So you can kind of name your adventure that way.
That's awesome. So, and they go as troops, like to Japan?
They could go as a troop. They could go as an individual with other Girl Scouts. It really is up to them.
That's fantastic. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I want to go to Japan. Can I sell some cookies?
Well, you could be a chaperone, maybe. I don't know. There's a process, but we could look into it.
It's nothing like a single middle-aged man accompanying a group of girls on a foreign trip. That's a great call. That's okay. But the other part of this, and we talked about this with the camp pieces and the program pieces, is that the importance of outdoor education, which, to your point, they can sell cookies and use that to fund service projects, which can include, restoring trails or creating trails, for example, things like that.
Yeah.
Here in Worcester and Central Mass, we see a lot of active youth troops, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. The city is just finally getting around to putting out more public trash cans across the city, like 200 or so are finally coming out at a time when there's garbage everywhere. And I know a lot of troop service projects are picking up litter, cleaning up, restoring fields, restoring playing areas and playgrounds and things like that. It's so important. And yet, do the girls, what kind of reward is it for the girls when they get to see a tangible difference in a day's work from going out, if they're cleaning up a baseball field, for example, that is filled with litter and has been maintained in a few years? What does that mean to them to see a tangible reward from a day or a week-long project or however long it takes to do those things?
I mean, community is so important to Girl Scouts. So they see it while they're doing it. They see the impact. And then they might hear about it also from people that either saw them or now know the great work they did. The opportunities are sort of endless. I was having a conversation with a woman who works at a local shelter last week. And they have needs at the shelter that I think Girl Scouts would really love to be involved in helping to solve. Yeah. And so I've connected, you know, the two together, because there's troops of Girl Scouts that could really help them raise, do a campaign to raise things for the thrift shop and things like that. So the needs are, sometimes they're complicated, sometimes they're easy to fix, but I hope people keep Girl Scouts in mind when they see a part of their neighborhood or community that that could use them. And what I think about with Girl Scouts is it's sort of like what Alexis de Tocqueville said about America.
Yeah.
People see a need and a group will form to solve it. They don't always wait for government. They don't always wait for business. It's sort of the intersection of what made America very different. And I think that's how Girl Scouts view their role in society as well.
It's an incredible analogy. I can't imagine what de Tocqueville would think right now, but...
Right.
On a more celebratory note, I don't want to turn this into a pity party. And a more celebratory note, you are going to be celebrating a key anniversary coming up in March of this year with the special salute. Tell us more about that.
So one of our overnight camps, Camp Green Erie in Harvard, Massachusetts, is celebrating its 100th year in operation. And looking through the photographs over the last 100 years has really been amazing to see the kind of diversity of both camper and activity that have gone on. Because Girl Scouts is always evolving.
Sure.
So if your mother and grandmother went to Camp Green Erie, some things will look the same. I'm not going to deny that. And they should. And some of the activities are the same. There's always swimming. There's always boating. There's always archery. But there are new things. And there are different things to do with STEM and outdoor camping and things like that. So we try to add something, new elements every year.
Yeah, and imagine as technology advances, society advances, and fundraising becomes available or funds become available, you can then adapt the camps to meet the new needs.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Is that Harvard camp, is that the one that's close to the Fruitlands Museum?
Yes.
Okay. A great spot. There are some future activities you have planned, and including a speaker series, and I would love to hear more about that, because that's something that we certainly talk about a lot on the show and have highlighted a number of speaker series. The Bull Run Shirley has had a great speaker series. We've had Erin Brockovich on a few months ago, who was it was amazing to be able to speak to her, number one, and just you know what she's doing. People like Jessica Buchanan. What is the speaker series that the Girl Scouts of Central and Western Mass are working on?
So we have a group of older Girl Scouts that are part of a girl advisory board. And what they really do is advise me and the other staff members on activities and programs. And what I do in turn is bounce ideas off them and try to get some new initiatives. So they've already helped me out on a few things. And I ran this idea by them about bringing in women leaders to talk to girls, either virtually or in person. I love the idea of in person. We've got some great former Girl Scouts at the highest offices in Massachusetts, including the governor. And it would be great to have her get connected with a group of girls and talk about career path, but also talk about her day-to-day, her education, and different experiences she's had that helped inform what she does now.
Yeah, for the girls, it's incredible. For the girls to get to see women of that ilk and the path they've taken through life to achieve, whether they're in government or business leaders, nonprofit leaders, whatever the case may be, tying that thread from where they are at, you know, 10 years old to where they could be at 40 years old or 50 years old is quite an extraordinary benefit for them, because so many times for kids, they can't see the future beyond the afternoon or the next event. You know, everything seems so far off. You know, they think when you're 25 year old, you know, they just don't have the knowledge yet, the perspective rather. And so to see women who've achieved at high levels and navigated what can be very difficult paths to get there for whatever endeavor they've taken, it's gonna be just a mind blowing experience for these kids.
I think it will be, and I think bringing in really high-level women that have had sort of an unusual career trajectory would be interesting. I know Lois Lowry, the author.
Yep.
She didn't write her first book till she was, you know, I think in her 60s or something.
Oh,
she,
wow.
She wasn't a young person. So, and musicians, of course, would be good as well, because they may not have had the same employment trajectory that, right, that say, Amora Healy might have. So
yeah.
I think finding these women and having them come in and talk to Girl Scouts would be really, really inspiring. And it provides Girl Scouts not only with vision and forward thinking, but they also probably see a little bit of themselves in some, yeah, of these people, and then they can make the link that you got to see it to be it, is what we say.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got to see it. We got to show it to them.
That's right. That's right. And if there are WSN listeners right now that are interested in supporting Girl Scouts in any capacity, including buying Girl Scout cookies, most importantly,
right,
how can they do so and get involved in the organization?
So if you want to buy cookies, one, we always say, find a Girl Scout in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
But if you don't know one, go to gscwm.org /cookies. And it's an easy thing where you type in your zip code and it'll populate with all sorts of places. The other way to get involved, of course, is we would ask that business leaders and corporate execs think about our cookie sales and how they could get involved. So, for instance, could you give a box of cookies to every potential client? Could, yeah, you give it to your employees as a thank you gift? That's the kind of, could you have Girl Scouts come and sell cookies in your location, obviously after school or on the weekends, to customers or employees? I mean, those are all the kind of things we're really looking for this year,
yep,
to help expand the cookie program for the girls. But all cookies must be bought from a Girl Scout. So you will never see someone like me, or you can't just, you know, magically buy them. You must buy them from a Girl Scout.
And it's critical that you do so. You'll have someone, many of you will have folks in your office selling cookies on behalf of their kid or grandkid. Buy from the kid directly. Just let them have that experience of processing a business transaction. Let them pitch the cookies. Let them, you know, do their thing, and then, you know, get the pricing and give them the money for it. It's just, you can't replace that. And, you know, it's nice the parents want to help out, but it's not really helping the kid when they're selling the cookies for the kid. Let the kid sell the cookies.
Yes, let the kid sell the cookies. Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing we'd love, and I think you have a community fridge right outside your office.
But we do.
If people are like, oh, I already bought cookies, they can buy them and we can donate them. So we can donate them to shelters. We have a relationship with a lot of veterans organizations locally, and we can donate the cookies if people want to go that route.
That would be great. So please do that. There is a community fridge right outside our door at 50 Portland Street in Worcester. There's another community fridge on Main South that is not far from where we are, actually. There's a few throughout the city. Veterans Inc. is on Grove Street. They would certainly accept cookies. Mm-hmm. We have a number of assisted living facilities in Worcester and active retirement communities, if you will, where people may not be able to see their grandkids, but they would love to get some cookies. And you can coordinate with them to do big drop-offs. And, you know, the office thing, the office gift, it's a great way to go. Corporate thank yous. It's such a treat to be able to walk away with a box, an unexpected box of cookies, as
right,
you've done for me today, because I'm unexpectedly taking four boxes home with me. It really is great. Teresa Lynn, thank you very much for joining us this week on Business Beat. Again, you can learn more about Girl Scouts and get cookies, gscwm.org/cookies, to find a local salesperson for yourself. And we'll be back with more Business Beat next week. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Here's to good business.